Wonderful. Good to see you. Well, that was a bit Anglican, wasn't it? Which is okay. I think. Happy New Year to you all. Okay, let's stop now. I'm getting quite intimidated. No, okay, and it was funny, over the Christmas period, I started to have some thoughts, you know, God, you know, what is it you want to lay on my heart, you know, to share with the guys? And I was just jumping into the bath with my iPad. Listen, women, you can cook and look after children and paint the house at the same time. So for me, jumping into the bath with the iPad, and I get a ping, bing, and Ian says, I'm not sure if you've decided what you're speaking on when you come. I'm like, I have, and it's too late. It's Christmas, come on, man. And he said, you know, God is like, please excuse this cough if it annoys you. It's been driving me mad for months, so be gracious. And Ian said, you know, God has given us a couple of verses for the year. It's from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. And I went, hallelujah, because that's what I had. So I just thought, I shouted down to Julie, have you seen this? Isn't this good? You know, you were thinking coincidence. And so I know that this is going to be, these two verses are going to be a verse that are going to minister to you throughout this year as a church. And let's just read it to start. Has anybody made any New Year's resolutions? Yes. Broke them yet? You know, for me, like a New Year's resolution, some Christian goes, no, we don't do them. Okay, do you have any New Year's aspirations? We seem to do goals, but anyway. I wonder what motivates us. You know, when we're thinking about making changes in 2015, I don't know what 2014 was like for you. It may have been the best year of your life. It may have been not so bad, not so good. It may have been totally awful. And you just think, thank you, Jesus, it's over. But you know, in the height of blessing, there will be challenges. Because that's just life. And, you know, even in the midst of revival, people go through significant challenges. So, you know, in 2015, we do not really know what that will hold for us as individuals, as a church family, for extended family. But one thing, though we may not know what the year holds, we know who holds the year. And that sounds like a nice little phrase, doesn't it? And if you tweak, please feel free to do it now. you know, but we need to remember that as we get into the year. When the challenges come, we start off thinking, yes, I know who holds the year, you know. But when the challenges come, it's so easy to be overcome with the pressure of the challenge. And we lose sight of him who's actually holding the year. Let's just read something. In fact, let's read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. I mean, if you've been a Christian any period of time, you will be very, very familiar with Scripture. And I think there are times we become totally over-familiar, that we start looking about, what does that mean? It's a bit like, we criticize the world for doing horoscopes, and yet we very quickly go into a blessing box. Let's just read it. Now to him. It's a rhetorical question. One of my favorite churches I go to is Emmanuel Baptist. And you have to say, this is a question that I'm not asking for a response, otherwise I have these two guys talking to me for the whole 30 minutes of me preach. And they're getting closer. So this is a rhetorical one. This doesn't mean you need to say anything, you just need to think about it. I know you know that, I'm just getting to practice. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Some versions say think. Now to him, who is this him? Who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Just to pause there for a moment, I just wonder are there times we need to just take stock of what we're asking and thinking for about. According to his power that is at work in us. That really thrills me about the power that is at work in us. The same Spirit Scripture says that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives, dwells within each of us who know Christ. You know, so I know we love to say, come Lord Jesus, you know, come Holy Spirit. And he's like, I'm here, I live here. What's wrong with you? And it's just terminology. We just fall into this thing, come Holy Spirit. It's like, but don't I live in you? Don't I dwell in you? Yeah. Well, that actually says more about us. That for many Christians, not you, the church down the road, they would rather settle. They would rather settle for a visitation of the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe Sunday and the really radical once during the week. But you know, the Holy Spirit is with us all the time, whether you like it or not, because he sets up home inside of us. And it says that the power of the Holy Spirit is at work in us. He's at work. And that work can be extensive, it can be obvious, and there are times it's hidden because we're not cooperating with him. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, this isn't a name it and claim it verse. I believe that these two verses are really about, if we're going to have any understanding, we need to have a breadth of understanding and some maturity. Because, you know, God, have you ever noticed that God says this and does the opposite? He speaks and operates paradoxically. You know, he says one thing and he can say the opposite as well. No? Okay, thanks, Phil. Now, these are great verses written by Paul. And Paul's, you know, as he understands, in prison during this time as he writes these verses to a church. And as you read the book of Ephesians, and I would encourage you, because it's one of the most theological letters that Paul wrote, and yet one of the most practical. It's filled with great exhortation to acknowledge Jesus as the head of the church. It exhorts the family of God to love each other in a real practical, spiritual way. There's a number of really moving prayers in Ephesians, and as you read through Ephesians, well, for me, I would say that, you know, there's lots of elements you can see of early liturgy, you know, that the early church would have used. You know, you read that verse, let's just read it again. You're going to read, I would imagine you're going to visit this verse a lot, so you'll know it heart by heart. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. Maybe we could be radical and turn to the person next to you and say, the power that is at work in you. Okay, that's not too bad. It always sounds better with a bit of conviction, though. I wouldn't have bought it off you. I'd be thinking, are they sure? But the Spirit of God is at work in us. And when we see this now to him, immeasurably more than what we ask or think, maybe we need to say, what is it we're asking for? You know, there are times through the year ahead, there will be challenges. There will be great blessing, but there will be challenges. I don't believe that they are opposite things. I believe they go hand in hand. Try reading about the life of Jesus. Try reading about the lives of the disciples. I don't know, there's lots of saints who have gone before us, who know missionaries, etc. And when you read their story, in the midst of great blessing, there is great challenge. You know, that there are times like you read about John the Baptist. You know, here's a guy, he's proclaiming the Messiah's coming. You know, he's thrown into prison. Do you think his disciples were praying for his release? I think they were. And I know you Bible theologians will know he wasn't really, well, he was released, but he wasn't released from prison. And then Peter's in, later we see that Peter's imprisoned. Let's get a bit of a theme going here. There's a prayer meeting going on. The angel comes, sets Peter free. Peter knocks on the door, and they don't let him in. Were they in faith? I wonder, let's write a quick book on how to get out of prison. Then it's James, isn't it? James is thrown in prison. Let's have a prayer meeting. Obviously, you get thrown into prison, you have a prayer meeting, and you get brought out. Well, he got killed. Okay, God, what's going on here? Surely we pray and you answer. But God doesn't always answer in the ways that we expect. Have you noticed that? In years of doing ministry and being involved in ministry, you know, we're prayed for things and we're prayed passionately and we've been really in faith. You know, whether we're praying over pastoral things in church or maybe over people's marriages. And we've prayed and we've done everything that is possible. And yet that marriage has still failed in some instances. You know, when we've prayed for people... Do you want to just go and share those two testimonies? I'm just about to have a little cough, so... It's either testimonies or prophetic dancing.
I'm not doing the dancing. I'm part of Healing Room team at Frontline, and about 3 years ago, about 4 years ago, there's a young guy, he was 21, he got diagnosed with brain tumour. Lovely Christian family, really fantastic Christian young guy, and as a team, we prayed for him. I mean, consistently, we fasted, a team went round every week to their house, but he died. And, you know, if you're on a Healing Room ministry team, that can be quite discouraging. And, you know, as Dave says, that question, how come it works once and then it doesn't work another time? And God just said to me, your responsibility is to pray until there is an outcome. And whether that was healing or whether that was death, you know, our responsibility was just to pray. And so it was, you know, a phrase came to mind that we believe, we pray, and let God have his way. And it's not always easy to do that, but, you know, for me, it really helps. And then some of you will know Dave's brother, Mick Connolly, and his wife, Lynn. And I think about 13 years ago, their son at 28 was murdered. And you can hear their testimony on YouTube, where they've done interviews or whether you've heard their testimony live. This couple are different from 13 years ago in that they are on fire for God in a way that we've never seen before. God is using them incredibly in ministry. And if you hear their story on YouTube, she says, I had one son, now I have many sons. And we don't always know what the outcome is going to be, but if we hang on to God and trust him and believe that there is a bigger picture, and he can bring incredible fruit into our lives in the most horrendous of situations.
See, the thing about us growing with the Lord, it's not a case of let's suck it and see. It's a case of when stuff happens to us, we have to find him. And, you know, finding him is about, for me, it's just about, if I find him, I can walk with him. If I can walk with him, he doesn't say that we won't walk through the flames. He doesn't say that, but he does say the flames won't consume us. He doesn't say we won't feel the heat. You know, he says, you know, we'll walk through the water. He doesn't say we won't get a good drenching. He says we won't drown, which is great because I don't swim. You know, we need to realize that, you know, faith in Christ is about having faith in Christ and not in us. You know, people out there, you know, they're not looking for people who have got it all sorted. They're looking for people who walk by faith. You know, this year, I believe that God will speak to you and do far more than you could ask or think. My question is, what are you asking for? And what are you thinking about? Because it'll only come about if it's in a line, if it's in alignment with Him. Does that make sense? How we live has got to be in alignment with God. See, stuff happens. I mean, God knows, we know stuff happens. You know, we live in a real world with people around us. We live around broken people continually, and we seek to see them restored. But that's God's place. Don't wear yourself out trying to fix people. Discipleship, in the last year, I'm just writing some articles on discipleship. Julie and I, we were raised in the discipleship movement. But, you know, I personally am of the conviction that in many places, discipleship has failed because we've tried to use it as a fixed people tool, how to sort people out, instead of using discipleship to say, guys, come and walk with us. And let's walk with Jesus and let's get to know Him. Let's do good times and bad times and indifferent times together rather than here's a verse to suck on. You know, I don't want people to think, you know, that everything is good when you become a Christian, because it's not. He is good. God is good. But life can be tough. And if we want to be effective, you know, we need to know, even in the midst of toughness, God is there, and He's with us, and He's in us, and He has a plan. And we don't always see all of the plan, and we get discouraged. And I want to encourage you that when you don't see the way ahead, just to know that you're walking with Him. Grab a hold of that. I love the Emmaus Road story, where they just walk with Him. They get all grumpy with Him. I'm like, that's what I'm like. Have you not heard what's going on? You're the only person here, don't know. Do you ever, when you pray and talk to God like that? I know you're probably frightened of lightning getting you. I'm too stupid. You know, there are times like, God, do you not know what's going on? You're going to mess everything up. Have you not heard? But He listens and He walks and He talks. And then He starts to speak. And the guys on the main road, they shut up and they listened. And He just opened up. And then there comes a time when they're going to stop and He's going to continue. And they say, no, don't. Come and eat. Come and fellowship with us more. Please don't go. And He goes and He fellowships. And it's as they fellowship, they see who He is. And it really is only as we fellowship with Him, we get to know who He is and what He is. And as we stop and say, God, where are You in this? God, we're in the midst of this challenge, in the midst of this crisis. Where are You? And He say, I'm right here. And if you hush, I'll speak. If you stop, I'll do something. And you may say, Dave, you're talking a lot about negative hearts. What about some blessing? I want to say something to you. You can't be any more blessed than what you are right now. But you can tap into more. Everything, all the resources of heaven are available to us. God gave everything He had when He gave Jesus to die on the cross. He said, bank's open. You just come and draw. You know, but the faith walk is about faith. You know, as we look about those verses, you know, we live in a world, and we keep in this thing, you've got to be reasonable. Can I just tell you something? That Jesus isn't coming back for a church that is reasonable. He's coming back for a church that is faithful. For a church that is, you know, people will say, well, you know, the church isn't reasonable over there, so it's not reasonable over that. I'm like, hey, God loves and Jesus is love. That's way more than reasonable. Whoever you are, wherever you are, having done whatever it is you've done, God says, I love you. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, whether you're a nice person, I've got a brother-in-law, and he's nicer than most Christians I know. Not you, but he's nicer than most Christians. I really like him. I think he's a great guy, and I know that God's got His hand on him. but he needs Jesus. You know, I want to say that reason can rob you of the fullness of God. See, this little prayer, this doxology that Paul has put together in those two verses, it's not about reason. It's not about a measure. You know, God doesn't want us full. He wants us full to overflow. God doesn't want you to give out of what you have. He wants you to give out of the overflow so it doesn't cost you anything. God wants us to give out of the overflow. Have you noticed how reason, most for me, reason will always encourage me to settle for less than what the Word of God promises me. It'll always want me to take less. It'll always try to maneuver me into limiting what I'm hoping and trusting God for. It'll always tie me down to what somebody else thinks about a certain thing. It'll always try and tie me down to what I think or have experienced about it thus far in my life. But God wants to take us beyond where we are and what we've experienced. See, you know me, I have never done anything extreme in my life, you know, extreme sports. You know, people say, I'd love to jump out of an aeroplane with a parachute. I'm like, knock yourself out. Will you do it with me? I'm like, you don't know me. Well, I'd like to walk across a tightrope, you know, over Niagara Falls. I'm like, knock yourself out. I have no desire to do anything. Like, I don't mind if you do. I have never done anything outstanding, you know, or I've never won a medal for anything, which is fine. I'm secure in that. But I believe being a Christian, and I believe being the man or woman that God has called us to be, takes supernatural intervention of the Holy Ghost. We can't do it on our own. We honestly can't do it on our own. We need to allow the Holy Ghost to come and do it. There was a guy, I was reading about this guy called G. Campbell Morgan. You ever heard of him, Phil? Famous English preacher, and he's in America, and he does this wonderful preaching. Bless this lady, because a guy wouldn't be bothered. But, you know, a lady comes up to him and says, excuse me. And she's American, so there you go. And she goes, do you think we should pray for even the little things in our lives or for just the big things? So in his own British way, looks at the lady and he says, madam, can you think of anything in your life that is big to God? Isn't that a great way of looking at it? Can you think of anything that is big for our God? And it's not because he's not interested in the little things. He just sees things as things. And his resource is so vast. Excuse me. I want to tell you that we will lose out if we settle for living within reason. Because when we live in reason, we start living in the natural. And we start talking about testimonies that are 20 and 30 years old. It's not that God wasn't faithful, but what about the testimony of yesterday and today? If we settle for reason, we'll settle for reading about books about when God moved, rather than being part of a movement of God now. What will history write about us? They read a lot. They'll definitely say they talked a lot or tweeted a lot or Facebooked a lot. But what will it say about us? Will it say that we were faithful? Will it say that we were faithful with the things that God placed in our hands? See, there is a tension of us really understanding that God is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. Isn't that amazing? He's, you know, people say, what do you do when you don't understand something, Dave? I'm like, it's easy. Scripture says that God's ways are higher than our ways. And when he thinks I'm capable of understanding it, he'll let me into it. But God is looking to see, us being faithful. Reason will always rob you of what God has for you. And in the day that we live in, people say, we can't say that. You need to be reasonable. See, it's not just about getting our prayers answered. It's about seeing God glorified.
Yes.
At Mike's funeral, this 21-year-old boy, Julie and Nick and Joan were all away. But on that exact same day, I did Mike's funeral. 1 hour later, I did the funeral of a baby. And I would have to say that day, that there was a grace of God on me that was phenomenal. Of being able to, you know, what do you say? What do you say to a mum who's lost her 21-year-old son? What do you say to a mum who's lost her baby? Hopefully you don't say all things work together for good, even though it does. Hopefully you don't say that. Hopefully you've got the sensitivity not to say that in that moment, but you just say, love you. But the reality is that God does cause all things to work together for good and for his glory. I personally don't, you know, generally believe that God sends suffering and sickness and disease. I believe, you know, it's there. And but God will walk it, give us, you know, if God doesn't heal us, he gives us the grace to walk through it. But God is sovereign. God is sovereign. I believe that very simply we are called to live in a state of humility. But that says as stuff is happening, good stuff as well as difficult, challenging stuff. God, I need to lean into you. I need to find you. I need to know how to pray. And then, as Jew said, you know, we pray our prayer. And we trust him. Faith is living in line with God's word. Not living according to our favorite speaker or our favorite theology. Because if you never have had your theology challenged, you're in for a shock. See, God's bigger than my theology. I believe that God wants us to see life through his lens. I believe there's a lens that so often we miss because we try and say something or do something when stuff happens, whether it's blessing or whether it's challenge, and we go into this automatic, you know, overdrive that is based on past rather than, God, what are you wanting to say right now? In the here and now, what is it you want to say? And it causes us to see things different. It's about aligning all we ask and think, because not only is he able, he's more than that. His power's at work within you and I. And just as I pull this, you know, to a close, I want to ask, you know, this verse that we've read this morning, how is it going to affect your life? How is it going to affect your family's life, your neighbors, your work colleagues, you know, those random connections that you may have? How is it going to affect the breakthrough in your life? You know, I believe that God is wanting to bring us from a place of a vague hope to a place where we know, God, you are faithful. When we're praying for the lost, we don't think, well, Lord, if it's your will. What we pray is, God, your heart is that none should perish. And I'm going to pray faithfully for those people. See the word faithfully, not ritually or religiously. I'm going to pray faithfully, believe that you are able. I believe there's a revelation that comes with these verses. I believe that there's an alignment. I believe that there's a flow that draws us from just a Holy Ghost expectation into a Holy Ghost breakthrough. I believe that there's a suddenly, as if from nowhere. You know, if you've been praying for people for ages and, you know, it's like, I don't know if you have any of these people in your eyes, and it's like they're hard-hearted. And then suddenly, as if from nowhere, there's a softening and we're all cynical and skeptical. Well, what's going on there? It's breakthrough. What about this year for our family relationships? What about this year for our wider family relationship? What about in all the different areas where we live our life? What would it look like if there was breakthrough? Because if you can't see it now in faith, you're very unlikely to see it when it happens. Other people will see it and you'll be cynical. Well, are they really saved? You know, why have they started coming along to church? It's a bit odd, isn't it? They've never come for the last 26 years I've invited them. Wonder what they want. Do they need money or what is it they're after? Are they after getting the kids into the local county primary school? Are they just coming so the kids or the grandchildren go to that school? What is it with us? Are we going to align ourselves? What will this place look like this time next year? Suddenly, from nowhere, breakthroughs in our families. Families restored, amen. Our kids restored back to Christ. What about healings? Emotional, physical, spiritual, receive. What about there being a great outpouring of grace and forgiveness? The question, my friend, is what do you see? What you ask and think? Is it going to be shaped by being cynical and skeptical? Or are you going to say, he is able? Yes. You know all the Bible stories, Abraham, Sarah, read it, you know. She couldn't conceive when she was good and young, so God lets her get good and old. God, how dark do you let it get before you shine the light? Well, then be God. Not easy to stand here and say that. But he's God, and he can only be who he is. So the question that we need to ask is, God, what are you saying? And then when you hear and you understand what God is saying to you, whether it be just a glimpse or the full thing, then decide what you're going to do about it. It will require you to move and act. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you.